entertainment, sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is simple. I want to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, that's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is improving communications, something we all need to do. Both of my guests will give us some whys and hows of inspiring and motivating people. 3.5 years ago, my first guest made a profound discovery that changed how he viewed the world and how he functioned in it. When he was studying the leaders of the world, he discovered how they think, act, and communicate in exactly the same way. But what makes that remarkable is that it's exactly the opposite of what everybody else does. My first guest will show us that with a little discipline, anyone can learn to inspire and lead. With true leadership in short supply these days, today's guest may have the most important information that we need to excel. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Simon Sinek teaches leaders and companies around the world how to inspire people, from members of Congress to foreign ambassadors, from small business to corporations like Microsoft and American Express, from Hollywood to the Pentagon. He's presented his ideas of the power of why. He's quoted frequently in national publications, too many to really go into here. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and to Brand Week. His book is titled Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action. Simon, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, glad to have you. I've been looking forward to this interview for days, so thanks very much for being my guest.
My pleasure.
Let's cut right to it. Let's say I'm the CEO of a company here in Ventura County, or maybe even an employee working within that company, but I've lost my energy, I've lost my drive, things aren't working the way they used to, I'm out of passion. What would you advise me to find my way again?
You know, it's such a common thing. One of the greatest challenges I think any business has, especially small businesses, is its own success. You know, as we become more successful and sell more goods, the passion that we ran on and those gut feelings that we made all our decisions with become increasingly difficult. We become mired in the details, the daily grind, the numbers, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing it. And we forget why we started the business in the first place. This is exactly the experience I went through 4 years ago. I had a small business. It did well. We had great clients. We did good work. Nothing there was in doubt. The problem was I didn't care anymore. The problem was I lost my passion. And I knew what I did, and I knew how I did it. I knew what I thought made me better or different. But the thing that I couldn't remember is why I started the business.
All right.
And it was that I became obsessed with, understanding why.
Ah, and that's what brought you out of the doldrums. Would that work for just about anybody, whether you're an employee or a CEO?
Absolutely. You know, the concept of why we do what we do, if you own the business, then it's the reason you started the business. It's the reason, it's the passion that sort of drove you to take those quite irrational steps of starting a business. Don't forget, small businesses have over a 90% chance of failure in the first 3 years. You know, it's only passion that drives you to do something that crazy. and if you're an employee, we want to feel a part of something bigger than ourselves. We want to come to work and feel like we're contributing to something that fulfills us, doesn't just pay the bills. So it's the thing that we're involved in, whether it's the ownership or the work inside the organization, is different. The reasons we show up are exactly the same. Why are we there?
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now, so many of us as individuals, we focus on what we do, and as men, we almost define ourselves by what we do or the how we go about doing it. So explain to me the difference between a what I do and a why I do it.
Sure, absolutely. Everybody on the planet knows what they do. These are the goods we sell, the services we offer, the jobs we do. Some people know how they do it, whether you call it your differentiating value proposition, your proprietary process, the thing that makes you special or different. But very, very few people in very, very few organizations can clearly articulate why they do what they do. And by why, I don't mean to make money, that's a result. By why, I mean what's your purpose, what's your cause, what's your belief. Like I said, why does your organization exist in the first place? Why did you get out of bed in the morning? And so as a result, the way we think, the way we act, and more importantly, the way we communicate, is we tell people what we do, we tell them how we're different or how we're better, and we expect some sort of behavior, work harder, a purchase, whatever. But in reality, the great and inspiring leaders and organizations, everything from Apple computers to Martin Luther King, regardless of their size, regardless of their industry, they all start with why. Now, I'll give you one quick communications example.
Sure.
I use Apple very frequently because we all understand them. We get it. It's an easy example.
Mm-hmm.
If Apple were like everyone else, a piece of communication from them would sound like this. They start with what they do. We make great computers. How do they do it? They're beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. Want to buy one? You know, it's not such a big deal, and that's how most organizations communicate. They tell us what they do. They tell us how they're different. Here's our new, here's our store. We've got the best selection at the best price, highest quality. You know, here's my resume. I've worked at the biggest companies. I've had great success wherever I've worked. Choose me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's how Apple actually communicates. They start with why. Everything we do, they say, we believe in challenging the status quo. We believe in thinking differently. The way we challenge the status quo is by making our product beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. We just happen to make great computers. Want to buy one?
Ah, okay.
It's totally different. It feels different. And in this case, it's the why that we find attractive, and what they do, the products they make, serve as the tangible proof of what they believe. But ironically, it's not actually the reason that we're drawn to their products in the first place.
Ah, we're talking to Simon Sinek, everybody, author of the book Start With Why. He's giving us some examples of why we need to start with why. Very timely that you should choose Apple. Was that just premeditated on your part? Because they're having a big announcement today up in Cupertino about some new products that are coming out. But let's Apple's great because Apple gets it and they understand it. Let's try to bring it down to more of the local level if we can, Simon, and talk about the difference between the why and the what. And I'm going to give you something that we call a quick fire, just some examples of particular types of products or companies. You tell me how we can get more to the why rather than the what. And so let's take a look at Procter & Gamble. They make bar soap. How do you get to the why behind bar soap?
Well, you're asking the wrong question.
Ah.
It has nothing to do with the bar soap. The bar soap is one of the things that P&G makes to bring their cause to life. And so can we explore the why for soap? Absolutely. But it'll be generic to anyone who makes soap. The question is, why was Procter & Gamble setting out to do what they're doing in the first place, and how does the production of bar soap help them advance that? You know, what is it? The product is actually irrelevant. Most of our careers are accidents anyway. You know, I had a career in marketing because I was in law school, became disillusioned with law, wanted to drop out of law school, happened to be dating a girl who was studying advertising and marketing. She said to me, you should go into advertising and marketing, and all of a sudden I've got a whole career in marketing. You know, if I was dating somebody in some other industry, who knows where I would have ended up. Most of our careers are accidents. But the reason we do what we do doesn't change regardless of what we do. And so the bar soap is actually irrelevant. It's not about the product. And the challenge for an organization, the challenge for a company, is to figure out why they started the company, irrespective of the product that they're making. You know, Bill Gates was interested in personal computers because he wanted to help people be more productive so they could achieve their greatest potential.
Mm.
It was dumb luck that he was born in the computer revolution. If he was born 20 years later, he would have had an internet product. You know, Google made an internet product. If they were born 20 years earlier, it would have been a PC product. That was, you know, whatever the times were.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, it brings up an interesting point. Let's go back down that trail that you were leading. You've consulted for Microsoft. You hold Apple up as a shining example in your book of a great company. They really get it.
Yeah.
Tell me, you know, you're there talking to Steve Ballmer. Microsoft seems to have lost its way since Bill Gates moved over to his foundation. Microsoft is sort of floundering. So what can you teach a behemoth like Microsoft about getting back to their core purpose and their core value?
Well, you nailed it, which is Microsoft has forgotten why it was founded. And Bill Gates, as the founder, became the shining symbol of that cause. Just Martin Luther King was the symbol of the civil rights movement. Bill Gates is the symbol of his own cause. And what he's doing at the Gates Foundation may be different than what he did at Microsoft, but the reason is the same. If you go listen to his TED Talk, where he talks about the Gates Foundation, you can replace all the every time he mentions mosquito nets and replace it with personal computers, and it's the same speech he gave 35 years ago about Microsoft. It's about achieving personal potential. It's an amazing, amazing thing to listen to, and it's inspiring. The product is different. The cause is the same. What happened to Microsoft is what happens to a lot of large corporations. It's quite a normal progression, unfortunately. It's called the split, where they become more obsessed with what they're doing and the results that they're achieving, and they forget why the company was formed in the first place. Microsoft was formed as a company to help people achieve great potential. The personal computer was the way they did it, and they became a software company. They became a company that makes products. And if you look at companies and organizations that know why they do what they do, we tend to refer to them as the exception. Southwest Airlines, Harley Davidson, Ralph Lauren. We don't really bucket them into their industries. We say, but they are the exception. Well, no, they're not. Their products are competing against all the other same products, but there's something different about them. And what that different thing is they feel different. And the reason they feel different is because they have a clear sense of why they do what they do.
Wow. We're talking with Simon Sinek, everybody, author of the book, Start With Why. Simon, we're going to have to break here for a short pause. But when we come back, I want to tease the audience with this. There's some examples of believers who are so in just steeped in the company tradition that they not only internalize it, but sometimes they will display it even on their body in the forms of tattoos. So I want to come back and talk about some of those companies that really inspire that sort of loyalty. Don't answer that now. We'll be back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is improving communication. And we're having absolutely scintillating conversations with Simon Sinek, who is the author of the book Start With Why. Simon, I loved your book, and before we went away to break, we were talking about people who internalize the why of what they're doing so much that they'll even display it on their bodies in the form of tattoos or other symbols that they wear or show. So I want to talk about that. In the book, you mentioned the U.S. Marine Corps. Now, why is the U.S. Marine Corps really incorporating your spirit of why?
What makes the Marines stand out beyond all of the other uniformed services is that they don't define themselves by their sphere of operation. You know, it's not planes or boats or, you know, tanks. What defines them is their people. If you go up to on the street and play word association with somebody on the street and you say, okay, I'm going to say a word and you tell me the first word that comes into your mind, you say Navy, they say ship. You know, you say Air Force, they say plane. You say Army, they say tank. You say Marine, they say person, soldier, you know, whatever they say, right? And it's this association to a human being that is so powerful. And Marines, you know, when you talk to somebody who served in the other forces once they're retired, they'll say, I'm ex-Army or I used to be in the Army. And to the day he dies, a Marine who hasn't served for 30 years will say, I am a Marine. And it's that set of values and beliefs that the Marines embody that help him communicate to us who he is. It is part of his personal identity. It no longer has anything to do with the organization per se. And we see this in business as well, and you mentioned it before the break, you know, the whole idea of tattoos. There are more Marines with globe and anchor tattoos than probably all the other forces combined for their respective symbols. And you see people with, for example, Harley Davidson tattoos. There are people who tattoo a Harley Davidson logo on their body. Some of them don't even own the product. Right? This is a corporate logo. Yeah. But what it means is it has nothing to do with the company. People don't tattoo Harley Davidson logos on their body because the stock price went up and they made a few hundred thousand dollars. That's not why they do it. The reason they do it is because Harley's why is so clear that the symbols that they think, that the symbols that they put out there, whether it's their products or their logo, serve as a symbol of the belief. So when somebody tattoos a Harley Davidson logo on their body, they're telling us something about who they are. And because Harley's why is so clear, we know something about who they are, simply because that tattoo is there. When somebody opens their Macintosh laptop in an airport, we know something about who they are. They want to tell us something. And every decision we make in our lives is a piece of communication. We are telling the outside world something about ourselves with everything we say and everything we do. This is the concept behind authenticity. You know, authenticity as a word means nothing. Everybody's telling us you have to be authentic, but how do you implement authenticity? What authenticity means is the things you say and the things you do, you actually believe. Because at the end of the day, a why is just a belief.
All right.
How is it the actions we take to realize that belief, and what's the result of those actions? If we cannot make tangible our beliefs, if we cannot find the symbols, whether they're corporate logos or crucifix around your neck or whatever it is, if we cannot find the symbols that capture our own values and beliefs, then how will anybody around us know what we believe?
Wow, very impassioned talk from Simon Sinek, everybody, author of the book Start With Why. And Simon, I'm going to try to bring it down to the Ventura level for my audience here, because we're not in Ventura businesses the size of the Marine Corps or even the size of Harley-Davidson. We're all small businesses here. And so how can a small business get to their core fundamental why, and how can they parlay that and differentiate themselves from all the other small businesses there are out there?
So I'll use myself as a case study. I'm a small business, you know, and I made a shift 4 years ago into how I talked about and how I thought about my own organization. I used to talk about what I did, and I used to try and tell people how I was different, how I was better, features, benefits, you know, whatnot. And that is a lot of work. It's a lot of work, right?
Right.
And once I just, and not only that, I can only compete against the people who do exactly what I do. And even though I have the belief that I can do other things, I don't have credibility in other spaces. I'm a marketing consultant. I can only get hired to do marketing consulting, right?
Okay.
So when I discovered my why, my why is to inspire people to do the things that inspire them, I literally stopped talking about what I did and only talked about what I believed. And when people would say that, ask me that dreaded question, what do you do? I didn't go into, oh, I'm a marketing consultant and I have this many clients and blah, 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 blah. I said, I teach leaders and organizations how to inspire people. And people who believe what I believe heard the word inspire.
Mm-hmm.
I said, inspire, that's cool. And all of a sudden, people, I would, you know, I'd have these opportunities open up all of a sudden because people who believe what I believe wanted to introduce me to other people. There's not a single thing I'm doing now that I planned on doing. All of a sudden, I have a speaking career. I get 2 to 4 speaking requests per day.
Wow.
Prior to 4 years ago, the amount of paid public speaking I did my whole life was 1.
All right. That's an incredible turnaround, Simon.
And it's all because I started talking about what I believed and not what I do. Nobody cares what I do. And I can't differentiate myself based on features and benefits. That's called a commodity. When I talked about what I believed, I attracted people who believed what I believed, and I became one of the things that they did in their lives to prove their own belief. And so what happened was loyalty from the people who started to show up voluntarily started to go up.
Ah.
You know, there's a big difference between repeat business and loyalty. Repeat business means I'll do business with you over and over and over again. Loyalty means I'm willing to turn down a better product at a better price, maybe even suffer inconvenience to continue to do business with you. It's the same with employees. Loyalty doesn't mean I show up every day. Loyalty means I will turn down a better offer because I love it here.
Or even work the overtime hours, even though it might mean keeping me away from my family.
Exactly. You know, they say that if you have a job that you like, you'll work 8 hours a day. If you have a boss that you like, you'll work 10 hours a day. And if you come to work and you feel a part of something bigger than yourself, you'll work 24 hours a day.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I love that. I'm stealing that right now, Simon Sinek, as we speak. So, all right, help us to understand. If somebody's out there right now, they're in their own small business, they're struggling, they're fighting the day-to-day battles that you described earlier in the conversation. How can we get some, give us some guidelines to crystallize our whys?
So there's multiple ways to do it. And one of the short, quick hand ways, and it's sort of a fun exercise, because don't forget, this is an emotional thing. This exists in the part of the brain that controls behavior but not language, which is why it's hard to talk about it, but it does drive our behavior. And so the reason, you know, your clients love you, your customers love you, the reason your employees love you is because it's you, which means it's the same reason why your friends love you. So you can find your why this way. Go and find your friends who you have love, that you love and they love you. Those friends that no matter what, you'll be there for each other. Even if you haven't spoken in 3 years, if you picked up the phone, you know they'll be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
That undying love, that intense feeling of love that you have towards those friends. Call them up and ask them this question. Why are we friends? Now, they're going to say, I don't know. Now, that's ridiculous. I mean, you don't know. What they're saying is it exists in the part of the brain that controls my behavior but not my language, so I don't know how to put it into words. So you play devil's advocate. You go, come on, I was listening to this crazy guy on the radio, humor me. And then you don't stop asking the question why, ironically, and you ask the question what. What is it about me that we're such close friends? You know, why are we friends? And they'll start rationalizing. They'll start saying, and they'll start describing you. I don't know. I've known you for years. You've always been there for me. You're funny. And you have to play devil's advocate. Good. That's the definition of a friend. What is it about me? And then again, they'll start describing you. Look, you're this kind of person, and you've always been really honest with me, and it's one of the things I respect about you. And you go, good. That you can get that from a lot of other people. What is it about me that we're such close friends? And eventually, some will get there quicker, some will get them slower. You can't help them, and you can't let anybody else help them. You have to let them suffer. Eventually, they'll stop describing you, and they'll start describing themselves. And this is the value. And this is what my friend said to me. Eventually, they stopped describing me, and they said, I don't know, Simon. All I know is when I'm in the room with you, I don't even have to have a conversation with you, and I feel inspired. And they're telling me about themselves now, you see?
Yes. Oh.
I got goosebumps when they said that. And goosebumps are the greatest test of an emotional reaction to something, of a connection to something that resonates with you, right? If you can get goosebumps. And I found that all of my friends, and my best clients even, told me the same thing. And every time they said it, I got goosebumps. And that's when you realize that the value you give to other people is the thing that you offer. The value that they, that the space in their lives that you fill is the thing that you give to the world. That is your why. Now, if you translate that to business, if that is your why, what is it about this business that you started that is allowing you to fulfill that cause, that value that you offer to the world through these tangible things that you can sell commercially?
Ah, we're talking to Simon Sinek, everybody, author of the book Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action. I'm going to turn the tables on you, Simon, and I'm going to say everything has a why. So what was the why behind your coming on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain today?
So my why is to inspire people to do the things that inspire them, right?
Right.
I made this discovery 4 years ago, and it profoundly changed my life, and I made a decision. If that's my why, I would be the biggest hypocrite in the world if I copyrighted and rights protected and sold it for large amounts of money. And I would have done really well, but my goodness, that wouldn't have fulfilled my why, right? That would have made me inauthentic. And so I made the decision 4 years ago that I would work tirelessly to share this message with as many people as possible. This is the reason why I love showing up on interview shows. I'm happy to answer any question. There's no secret sauce or magic formula. There's no proprietary method. I will share absolutely everything that I do when I'm hired to help people find their why. I'll tell you what it is, no problem. I'll tell you the whole system. And I wrote the book, and I write my blog, and I do the Twitter thing and the Facebook thing. Why? Because for me, it's all about spreading this message. It's about building a movement that every single one of us should wake up every day and only do the things that inspire us, and more importantly, work to inspire those around us.
Now you mentioned Facebook and Twitter. I'm going to have you back some point in the future talk about social media, because I know you have something of a contrarian view on that. But we've only got about a minute left, Simon. So I'm going to say, you know, this is tough times. These are leaderless times. I think we both agree to that. So give us some ideas how leaders can draw us in and really get us to be more, get us to inspire us more.
We live in times in where people are not devoted to cause bigger than themselves. People are devoted to the short-term results that they can get, whether it's a company that's looking to make their quarterly results, whether it's a politician that's more interested in winning the election than they are in helping the country. And we have to set the example. It's the small business that needs to set the example by demonstrating that the reason they show up is to inspire their employees, to inspire their customers, to inspire their community, and that is leadership. To do something not because for the selfish gain, but to do something to contribute to the greater good, to the community. And those are the leaders that we need to foster and grow, and those are the people that I want to follow in the future.
Ah, that's great. We're talking to Simon Sinek, everybody. His book, Start With Why. I don't endorse readily every book that comes across my desk, but this is one that I do. How Great Leaders Inspire Everybody to Take Action. Simon, the time has flown by so quickly. We're out of it right now, but we'll have you back in the future. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
My pleasure. I look forward to it.
I look forward to it as well.